Every dating app swipe is another loss. Gym bros, fake CEOs, straight up losers. So now the only app I open is Modo Casino, because at least there I'm surrounded by winners, real winners, thousands of them. While everyone else is in the single swamp, I'm at home relaxing while stacking bonuses, hitting wins, and playing all my favorite Vegas style games. Modo Casino, the only app worth your time.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details.
Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino, America's social casino.
Hour number two, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game here on this Monday. Hope you're having a fantastic start to your day. He is Big Joe. I'm Chase McCabe, Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier on the ones and twos. Be joined by Jonathan Hutton from Outkick here in just a few minutes as he's out at the Grove. So he's at that event that Paul was going to today. So they may be on the course. I don't know.
They may be together hanging out.
Yeah, but they were doing kind of a preview day, and you could play the course. We're obviously busy right now. Otherwise
we'd be out there eating the food.
We would. Yeah, definitely eating the food.
So for these events, people, please stop scheduling them between 9 and 11. Do them like at 1 or 1's
right.
Good.
Yeah, 1's good. That works for us.
Because if you have
food, we like free food.
We will show up.
As Greg Pogue and the Nashville Cats learned on Saturday, we enjoy that. So
I
thank
ate
you
all
for
the
that.
Spaghetti. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, we I didn't get any because of that. So thanks.
Did you go in there?
Yeah, it was gone.
Was it gone? I had four plates. I'm so sorry about that. So good, man.
It's all good. So had a good time. Did the double. Did the Cats game, and then I went over to Nashville SC.
Well, how was that?
They lost, but it was, you know, it was good. They should have won. Like, New England's not very good, but I guess Nashville SC isn't very good either. So
since Brady left, New England has not been the same.
Yeah,
they had two chances. They had a penalty.
What, were you
save.
There too?
I was there. So my phone was on Do Not Disturb because,
why? It's fine.
Well, somebody called me during the national anthem. That was embarrassing. Embarrassing. So I, from there on out, put it on Do Not Disturb, and yeah. So then I saw his message right after the game. I was like, dang it. He had good seats too.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, they were very nice. So midfield, got to see a good view right behind the benches. So
how was the food?
Food was great.
You had the suite up there?
Yeah. Food was great. Okay. Had a lot. So.
All right, so something just came out, and we'll still effort Jonathan Hutton, that I love to react to. I haven't seen it, but the College Football Hall of Fame ballot for 2025 has come out, right?
Yes, it has.
You've got 19 things. I don't want to be the boss. You got 19 things going on over there.
Yes, I just got it, and I was about to try and look through it. So let's see. I mean, there's a ton of these. Like, the email I got said, this is what it said. The National Football Foundation and College Football Hall of Fame today announced the names of the 2025 ballot for induction into the College Football Hall of Fame, including 77 players and 9 coaches from the Football Bowl subdivision and 101 players and 34 coaches from the divisional ranks.
All right, do you want to do you rattle off? It's alphabetical too that I'm seeing. I see the first couple ones on here, but I don't know if anybody locally that has been kind of with us.
Yeah, let's see. Flozell Adams from Michigan State.
Yes, he was amazing.
Eric Anderson from Michigan, linebacker. Monty Ball, Wisconsin running back.
No.
Kenjon Barner, Oregon running back. Aaron Beasley, West Virginia defensive back.
Nope.
Bernard Berrien, Fresno State kick returner, wide receiver. Jeff Briegel, is it Briegel?
Yeah.
UFC offensive guard.
There's one. Skip down to the first Titan on the list.
Rocky Kalmus, Oklahoma linebacker.
Absolutely. He was amazing in college. He was great.
Yeah, let's see. I'm trying to find names.
Kijana Carter, think he deserves to go in there? First pick of the
maybe.
Eagles. He was good. 94 for the Penn State team, and they won the
Rose Bowl. Was Matt Kavanaugh with Pitt good?
He succeeded. He was the quarterback preceded Dan Marino, and he was a quarterback on the 76 national champion team with Tony Dorsett. Does not go in the Hall of Fame.
How about this guy, a tight end out of Iowa, Dallas Clark?
Does not go in the Hall of Fame. He was great in the pros.
I think he had a better NFL career.
The guy underneath him, who you're going to read? Absolutely.
Brad Culpepper?
From Florida. Was amazing. Gator Mike, I know you listen, but Brad Culpepper played at Florida, was great when, you know, he was there like 88, 89, 90, 91, deserves to be in the College Football Hall of Fame. Now, look, a lot of these players are deserving. It's just that you can't take all these at one time.
Aaron Donald's on here.
Yeah, I mean.
From Pitt.
Yep.
Let's see. Other name. Ken Dorsey.
Mm.
I don't think he's Hall of Fame worthy.
Oh, there's one on the list that should go in. Willie Gott, Tennessee wide receivers on the Nash on the ballot. He was good, and of course he had a lot of bias because Willie Gott. I don't know if he deserves to go into the College Football Hall of Fame.
Alan Faneca?
I mean, he's in the NFL Hall of Fame. He was really good at LSU. Really good.
Let's see. I'm trying to read.
He was good. Really good.
Really good, Jim.
Oh, John Henderson's on the list.
Yeah.
Look who's underneath John Henderson.
Josh Heupel.
Josh Heupel. So John Henderson.
Did you see who was above them?
Garrison Hurst.
Above him?
Oh, let me go back up here. How are you? Marvin Harrison.
Yep.
It's just, don't ask me to pick like eight of these.
Graham Harrell. Graham Harrell.
Heupel was great. Congratulations.
But
like, how do you pick from these? How do you pick Heupel? Craig Hayward's on the list. Craig Hayward was amazing.
Michael Huff. Michael Huff was a great DB at Texas.
You can't pick these guys. Look at Mark Ingram.
Yep.
Sebastian Janikowski.
Deshaun Jackson.
Yeah, that's the. I would not want. How many they picked to go in?
I don't know.
50? You have to. Here's a guy on the list that you've never heard of that I grew up playing and I knew who all about was Ed King, a guard at Auburn in the late 80s, who was amazing. Here's the problem we get with this. Well, they didn't do anything in the pros. They didn't do anything in the, and that's the problem.
Right, but that shouldn't matter. It's a College Football Hall of Fame.
I totally agree.
It shouldn't matter. What you did after college doesn't matter.
But too often it defaults like, well, in the pros, they didn't do much. Look, Brian Bosworth was amazing in college. He was might have been the best linebacker ever in college football. Yeah, in the pros, he didn't do squat. He got hurt and didn't do anything. So it's like, well, he knew anything in the pros. I don't care about that. I care about what college that he did. Bosworth was amazing in college football, and that's what this award is about, college football. Ed King at Auburn was a guard. He was amazing at Auburn, but nobody knows his name and nobody really cares.
I think this guy deserves at least a look at it. James Laurinaitis from Ohio State. He was pretty good there, like really good.
Okay,
NFL, not so much.
Thank you for not bringing up his dad.
No.
Okay.
I'm not.
Thank you.
But James Laurinaitis, I think, probably get some looks.
Yeah.
Ryan Leaf.
He was great at Washington State.
I know.
In 1997, Ryan Leaf was fantastic in college.
I mean, shouldn't he already be in?
Yeah.
Is he not because just
attitude
stuff?
I don't know what the for this is. I mean,
Marshawn Lynch?
He didn't really ring a –
Pac-10 2006 Pac-10 Offensive Player of the Year, led the league in rushing, 1356, 1785 all-purpose yards and 15 touchdowns, two-time bowl game MVP, and Cal's all-time leader in 100-yard rushing games with 17.
When I think of Marshawn Lynch, the collegiate doesn't stand out for me. Larry Sievers, a Tennessee wide receiver, two-time consensus first-team All-American in 75 and 76. I vaguely remember him. He was amazing at Tennessee, but now he's 50 years gone by. They're not going to remember him, and it's a shame.
We'll get back to this in a second. Jonathan Hutton joins us now. He's at the Grove, so have you teed off yet?
I'm about to tee off, and what we're doing today, Jay, sorry for being a little bit late here, guys. We are filming on the course with Caleb Surratt, who played at Tennessee, and now he plays on the LIV Golf Tour, and we'll see how this goes with the LIV Golf coming to town later this month. They just had a presser here, and some of the details sound very cool for fans. And the party deck, there's a party hole here on the course that they're building. Big Joe would like to he'll be pleased to know that the food for the media center is apparently going to be the best media food in the state. That's what they're claiming. So we'll see how that goes.
You got my attention now.
They're also saying, I'm a bit surprised, this will be the most attended LIV event here in the States that they've had so far.
Oh, I believe it. And so we had somebody call earlier that was like, are you surprised that they're, you know, that the PGA has never had an event here? And, you know, I think the LIV Tour is going to, I mean, it's probably going to push them to do an event here, but you've lived here your whole life. I'm kind of surprised that they haven't been here because there's an appetite for it, for sure.
Oh, yeah, and there's been discussion over the years, and I've certainly asked about it because I would love to see it here. There are so many parameters and requirements, though, for what the PGA Tour needs. Setup-wise, the golf course itself, the owner of the course, doesn't receive that much money. In fact, the money goes back in to make sure the course is pristine. It's got to be 7,000-plus yards and really longer than that now to handle some of the scoring that would take place. And then you have to have all the room for the stands, the grandstands, the media center, everything that takes place. And they, I mean, more or less, those things destroy your course.
Right.
So there are a lot of things that go into not just the 4 days, but the week and the weeks of setup that, you know, that factor into the PGA Tour players. But now those players on the Live Tour, and they're more about partying on the course of over 3 days wearing shorts. And I think that fits more of the Tennessee statewide golf course parameters. And we certainly see it with the FedEx Cup that comes through here in Memphis. But that's pretty much it. And you're hard pressed to find the golf course that can handle all of the extracurricular things that would take place. They have an amphitheater here at the Grove. There's going to be a concert with Dan and Shay on, I believe, Saturday after the golf is concluded. So it's they've thought of a lot of different things. There's a guitar putt, like a 40-foot guitar that they're going to have somewhere for fans to putt and win prizes. And they've thought of a lot of different things that will end up just being a really big party.
We're talking to Jonathan Hutton this morning live at the Grove where the Live Media Day is happening. You got a lot of influence down there, Jonathan. Here's what I want you to ask. Why can't we scream when a golfer's lining up for a 5-foot putt? Look, baseball, if Jonathan Hutton goes to the plate and it's bases loaded, you're down three in the bottom of the ninth, people are screaming at you. Why can't I scream at a golfer?
Well, it's like, you know, why can you fight in hockey but you can't fight in the NBA? Like, they're just different things.
Right. You
know, just different etiquette. There's certain parameters that every sport wants. And the golfer's going to get pissed off for greatness if you mess up his backswing. It's just part of it. I think there should be a bit more poise involved in some of this, especially with the cameras clicking in the background. But I know this: whatever you think about Live, the event itself is going to be loud whenever it's here later this month. So I anticipate not there won't be any golfers on the Live Tour coming through here complaining about the noise in their backswing. If that's what you want to see, Joe, this is the weekend to come check it out. You can yell your heart out.
Well, I'll do that. But how does it, I mean, will this be a rousing success? I mean, I know it's still a couple of weeks away, but now it's kind of people are talking about it, kind of, you know, discussing it and the buildup. And you think this will go over well? I mean, I think there's a need for it, and I think it's a good weekend for it.
Yeah, and I think what they're doing to promote the star power that will be here, you know, Bryson DeChambeau, John Rahm, who Caleb Surratt, who I'm playing with, played at Tennessee. He's on John Rahm's team, which is called Legion 13. He left school a year and a half in to go join the Live Tour based on Rahm's invitation. Of course, you know, you've got all the different players who have left the PGA to join Live. They'll be here. And I think the up-close and personal aspect of it, where you can go and pay your ticket and get in and walk around, I think that it's just a different event. And Nashville shows up for big events. This is the biggest that they'll have in terms of what Live offers throughout the U.S. so far. So, yeah, I think it'll be a rousing success. And many of these guys have never been to Nashville. Caleb Surratt, who played at Tennessee, just told me that he's never been to downtown Nashville.
Oh, wow.
And I said, well, get ready. And he's 20 years old. And I said, even better. So he's in for an awakening on that. He flew in. He'll fly out tonight. But he's coming downtown right after the round of golf this morning.
No doubt. Football question for you. Justin Jefferson signs a 4-year, $140 million contract with $110 million guaranteed in that deal. It has reset the receiver market. He's the highest paid non-quarterback in the NFL. So what do you think this does moving forward? And I'll take it a step further because I asked Joe this question. Do you think that we're kind of seeing the end of the running back as we know it, just because there's so many, you know, wide receivers that are making all this money, and you're seeing like the athlete, so to speak, that has to do more than one thing? So how is that going to affect that running back position moving forward?
Yeah, I mean, the running back position itself is going to be affected by players who are in, you know, let's just go to the lowest level, the peewee football level, to the middle school, to high school. Growing up, guys, you either want to be the quarterback or the running back in my high school. Now it's quarterback or wide receiver. But the wing T is you know, going to be – it's going to be tough to find players that want to play in a wing T now in high school. It's already been kind of going the opposite direction, now even more so. And I think more and more people are going to want to play defensive end, even in some cases corner, because there's big money at corner at the very highest level of that position on defense. And then even defensive tackle is getting paid at a very high rate. But wide receivers in that threshold now, and I mean, Justin Jefferson's worth it. You know, there were talks. There's rumors going around that the Vikings were considering trying to move up to get Malik Nabers in the draft at 5, trying to move up to pick 5. And had that been the case, they would have not gone in the direction that they just did by extending Justin Jefferson, who wanted to be paid in the quarterback realm. And he ends up being paid just less than that, as now the highest paid non-quarterback in the NFL, above Bosa. So, I mean, that's where he is. He's the best wide receiver. He's playing with a quarterback that's going to get him the football. And they have a ton of talent on that offense. He's the best. And for an organization that has been known for getting rid of the best wide receivers, Randy Moss, Percy Harvin, Stephon Diggs, they've invested in him. And in large part, they can do that because he's not a malcontent. And he's with a rookie quarterback on that rookie pay scale. So that fits into the parameters of a salary cap that is only going to continue to skyrocket with this new media deal that's just been signed.
Real quick, obviously DeAndre Hopkins' days of getting a deal like that are behind him, but I can make an argument that even at almost 33 years old, he probably deserves, you know, one more decent contract in his career. Now, you know, there are some thoughts, okay, maybe he's holding out. He wants the Titans to give him more for this year. He's on the second year of a 2-year deal, making $13 million per. I think that's a bad business decision if he holds out. But what do you think would be a fair next contract for him if it's by the Titans or somebody else?
Well, I think it's around the $10 to $12 million range, and it's guaranteed money. He's going into 2024 now. He was just paid the final guarantee of his contract on the fourth league day of the new league year, which is like March 13th or 14th. He was paid $4 million, and now he goes into a season where there is no more guaranteed money left on his contract whatsoever. The guaranteed money was a little over $10 million, I believe, of what was an 18, or like a 20-something million dollar contract. So he's trying to get another contract no matter where he is, and he doesn't want to get hurt and have nothing to show for it, even though he's made a lot of money throughout his career. The business decision there is give me more guaranteed money, and that would be on an extension that where it would be front-loaded. It was front-loaded for him with the contract here, where the Titans had an out after last year if they wanted to get out of it, but he played so well and was so consistent that they stuck with him. I think he counts around $18 or $19 million against the cap. I think it's 7 or 8% of what the Titans – cap is going to meet this year. With all that being said, it's a business decision, Chase, that leads him to want guaranteed money in a season where he's a lame duck. He's in a lame duck year of his contract. He's going to play. The question is, do the Titans want him longer than this year? And I mean, I would, based on what we saw this past year. Ultimately, they'll work something out. If he misses minicamp, I think the maximum fine combined is a little under $100,000. It's like $16,000 for day one, and it goes up to $50,000 for the third missed minicamp, mandatory minicamp. But it all adds up to a little under $100,000. And keep in mind, he got an extra $500,000 the final day, final game of the season for meeting some incentives, and he's giving $100,000 back of a $4 million roster bonus that he just was credited to his bank account. So, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, it may be worth it for him to stay away just to try to get something bumped up this year in a part of his career and at an age where he's got to make one more contract and one more payday if he can.
Well, Hutt, appreciate it this morning. I know you're about to tee off. Have fun, but I appreciate the quick chat.
Yeah, time to tee off and time to make a fool of myself here at the Grove.
You've got this, buddy.
I'm about to leave this course with more divots than it's ever seen.
Now that would be me if I played in this. But have fun.
All right, thank you, guys.
Jonathan Hutton from Outkick joining us live from the Grove.
All right, I got something I'm gonna tell you. Something the NFL Network is doing that you and I are seeing.
Yeah.
That the SEC Network needs to do.
I agree.
And if they did this, viewership would be at an all-time high. It's pretty high anyway with SEC Network. But if they do something that the NFL's doing, I'm telling you, man, it would be fantastic.
It would. We'll do that next. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game here on this Monday. So Joe and I are completely distracted now, thanks to Ricky, watching NFL Network. This is Super Bowl 23 between the 49ers and the Bengals.
It's the John Candy game. You know that
story? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
They're going down the field. The 49ers are down late in the fourth quarter, and Joe Montana says, "Look at that." And everybody turns around. And they're like, "What?" And he's like, "That's John Candy in the end zone." So it referred to as like, I mean, Randy Cross was like, "We're about to go down the field and try to win the Super Bowl." And Joe Montana starstruck because John Candy is standing in the end zone. Also in this game was one of the worst injuries right there. Tim Crumry ever had his leg snapped like in the first quarter. One of the worst football injuries I've ever seen in this. But all right, so the larger topic is, on this is that this the NFL Network has shown these old football games, Super Bowls, whatever, and you watch. If the SEC yeah. Network would show old SEC football games during the summer, I'm telling you, we'd all watch. You put on the Tennessee Florida game from 2000 when who was the guy that dropped the pass for Florida in the end zone and it wasn't a catch and the umpire gave him the catch. Oh, God, I forget his name now. You guys know what I'm talking about. Put those games on like that. Show the 98 Tennessee-Florida game.
So SEC Now is what's on the SEC Network right now. Let's see. We got baseball. They're going to show LSU-Tennessee again.
I don't want to see that.
Feinbaum. SEC Now, SEC Now, SEC Now. Feinbaum. I agree. Look, I mean, I would rather, like on a Monday night at like 6 or 7 o'clock, show an old game.
Unless you don't have the rights, if Jefferson Pilot has it or Rake, or I get all that.
They've shown, like, because I watched a game with Eli Manning at Ole Miss that was like a Jefferson Pilot sports game, but it was like an old game that they showed like one time and had interviews and stuff with everybody involved, and it was like Eli and Houston Nutt or something, and
Ole Miss Arkansas battle, yeah,
something like that. So yeah. They do it sometimes, but I agree. Like, get the rights to these games and show all games. Because, like, you know, we were talking about it last week. They were showing, NFL Network was showing the Titans Steelers from 02, the playoff game. And I'm like, I got sucked in. Watch the whole thing.
Right. And that's fantastic. But I'd like to sit down and, you know, I've seen they've done it before. Like, they show the 82 Auburn-Alabama game. When Auburn beats Alabama the first time, Bo Jackson scores late in the fourth quarter, and it's just – it was Bears' last game in Alabama. It was fantastic watching that stuff.
Well, and here's the thing, too. Like, for people like me, like, watching those old games – like, when COVID happened and everything gets canceled, CBS decides, you know, where they were going to run the NCAA tournament, they started playing – you know, because they had all the rights to it.
Right.
They started playing old games from the tournament. And so – the first one was the Michael Jordan with Carolina when they won the championship. I had never seen that game before.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah.
So
Georgetown.
Versus Georgetown. So what was fun for like Darren and Willie was kind of reliving it through my eyes because I'm seeing it for the first time.
Oh, that's
and so
cool.
There were all these different games. Like I watched the Bally Sports, or it was then still Fox Sports, showed the 1995 World Series. So,
well, hold on. That's Braves-Indians.
Braves-Indians. And while I remember it sort of, like it was still semi-new for me because I was so young, I watched every night was a different game. So I watched every game of the 95 World Series. We got Tom Glavine on to talk about it. And so they showed old races, old Super Bowls, you know, old old game. I mean,
just dedicate. I mean, hell, bring a channel out. Just dedicate it to old sports.
Well,
and
I
old
used
games.
To have ESPN Classic, but yeah, I agree. Like,
and
a lot of this stuff's on demand now. Like, you can go and find it on
but
YouTube
nothing
or
like
whatever.
This, right? Yeah. Nothing like. I don't want to search something out. It's organic. It just pops up, and there it is. And you can watch those games and have a lot of fun. I mean, you know how much I love SEC football. I love SEC football. So these little games pop up. You know, the 85 Alabama-Tennessee game when Tennessee won down there and Dell Jones made the interception. Great. 98 Tennessee-Florida when Tennessee beats Florida, they missed the field goal. I mean, just show those games through the day. And
I'll tell you a game I would love to see. Like, because I remember watching it live, but I don't remember a lot of the game because, again, I was very young. 1998, Tennessee-Arkansas.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So that would have been T. Martin and Clint Sterner.
Yeah, it was right there on the field. I mean, you're exactly right. That game should be shown because that's an iconic game in the history of not only Tennessee football.
Like, if Tennessee doesn't win that game, that whole season's different.
Well, people forget, you know, Clint Sterner fumbles the ball. Tennessee still has to go down the field and score. I'm in the end zone. I'm right there. And they just get the ball to Travis Henry. He goes down, scores, they win the game. That was amazing. That's a game, if you're a football fan for this new generation, you want to know how things are, it's important to watch for Tennessee football and for Arkansas football just because of how that happened. There's so many games like that to go back and watch. I'm telling you, if you've never seen the 2005 Vanderbilt-Tennessee game and Cutler in that game and Earl Bennett, need to go back and watch.
Yeah.
I mean, if they would show that game, I mean, outside of Tennessee, probably nobody cares. It's amazing watching Jay Cutler dissect. I know Tennessee didn't make the bowl of the year, and they're probably checked out. I don't care. But Cutler still dissected that team down the field. It's a great game to watch.
Yep, 100%. 615-737-1025. How about we give another pair of tickets?
Do it, buddy.
To the Big Machine Music City Grand Prix. A pair of three-day tickets to the Grand Prix at Nashville Super Speedway, September 13th through the 15th. Caller number, Dr. Crane, you pick this time because you're the one that has to answer the phone.
Two.
Caller number two. Okay. Ooh, it makes it easy. Caller number two, 615-737-1025. You can purchase your tickets for the Music City Grand Prix at Nashville Super Speedway. And right now through June 16th, use the promo code GAME for 20% off. Through June 16th.
As we visit our topic, we had a lot of response. We'll read those for you. The first car you ever had. June's here. Summer's here. We'll talk about your first car. A lot of response. 615-737-1025 on the text line. We want to hear the first car you ever had that was your best friend. Let us know.
615-737-1025. It's Chase and Big Joe, 1025-1063 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 1025-1063 The Game here on this Monday. Having some fun going down memory lane. And classic games. 615-737-1025, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios. Home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Of course, talking about this, Joe gave me some ideas in the break. So thank you for that.
Don't tell him yet, man. It's a great idea that if you could pull this off, it would be fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, because you bring this up all the time. We love nostalgia, especially, I think it's fun, and I don't know, maybe I'm in the minority. I don't know if people my age or like Dr. Crane's age, you know, appreciate that. Like, you know, hey, I know about 1991, you know, the worst to first teams with Minnesota and the Braves, but like, I don't remember that. And so even though game six breaks my heart, you know, like, but I watched it, and it's like I had that emotion. Like, I knew the outcome. I knew what was going to happen. I knew how the series was going to end, but I watched the game for the first time, and I had that heartbreak as a Braves fan.
Yeah, and that – so prime example of that, we're talking about these old game nostalgia, and that's why our text line blew up about nostalgia. With the first car that you had, it's like it takes you back to a certain place in time. It's like, oh, man, that was cool. I remember that. Hell, I can't tell you what happened last week, and we all laugh about that. But we had the discussion. We're particularly responses. The first car that you ever had, and we got pages and pages of you guys were fantastic for weighing in. 615-737-1025 about that first car, about the nostalgia, about going back. I mean, I was talking to some friends this weekend. We went to a Braves game in '87. Chuck Tanner got thrown out of the game. He was the Braves manager. And it's like, oh, they're playing the Pirates. And John Smiley pitched for the Pirates. And they had just traded for Doyle Alexander. They got traded. And they got John Smiley. I mean, it was like, you remember all these. And you remember the damn car you went in to do all that. So you talk about, man, times are rough. There's some moments in your life, reflect back on that, were just amazing times growing up. And your first car was a big part of all those.
Sure.
Big time.
615-737-1025. Let's see.
It's easier if you read them.
I know. Well, I'm trying to find them because we've done other things. Oh, Jay from Clarksville. First car was a 77 Gremlin hatchback.
Yes.
White trimmed in blue, similar to the car in Wayne's World.
Oh, my gosh. That's perfect. Go find that car, Jay.
Oh, that's good. Did you read John in Clarksville yet? My first car was a 77 vinyl top Cadillac Seville with bench seats and an awesome salmon color.
Ooh, nice. is salmon an awesome color? I don't know.
I don't know. My AC didn't work as it was my grandfather's and tried to install it. And he tried to install his own cassette player and messed it up. So the AC didn't work. Cassette radio didn't work. And the entire center console was held up by tape and would fall off going over a speed bump. But all the football players wanted to rent my car on the weekends because of the bench front seat.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. What a memory, man.
That's awesome.
My dad had his 16th or 18th birthday. I never got to meet my grandfather. He passed away due to cancer. But my dad bought his very own car by himself, a 1986 Oldsmobile Cutlass Supreme with the glass T-tops. So it's pretty nice.
Oh, wow.
Still has it. But that thing, you got to, like, press the gas multiple times.
Yeah.
It just hums and hums and hums. It takes about, like, 2-3 minutes to get it going. But
I'll tell you a funny story. So when Joe and I were in Miami, we had some issues with the rental car company, so we were able to get upgraded because of Joe's great work to a Mustang. And so we had a white Mustang convertible. And so we get in, and he's like, all right, get the top. Do we need to take the top off, like all that stuff? I'm like, yeah, like this. And I push a button, and the thing just goes back. And he's like, look, we're kind of looking at each other. He's looking at, like, thinking it's old school. You got to pull it back.
It took once, and it's midnight in Miami on a Friday night. So here's goes Chase and I driving around town in a convertible Mustang.
That was smart, probably.
It was the best.
So you guys had a white Mustang. Did you guys have white suits?
No.
Channel your inner Don Johnson? No.
Easy, pal.
What?
Crockett and Tubbs, man. Hey. That's my show. Josh and Donaldson says, I had a 72 baby blue Ford LTD, black vinyl top, Windsor under the hood, zoom, zoom. A baby blue Ford LTD, which is like a land yacht, and a black vinyl top. I bet that thing was 1,000 degrees, Josh, every time you drive that around.
You know what's fascinating to me is all these colors. Like, everybody's including the color of the car. Colors of cars now are so boring. It's like you got silver, black, red. I don't see a lot of blues anymore.
No, not at all.
Maybe a dark blue.
My car.
I don't see a lot of green anymore.
I had a two-tone car. Mine was brown and rust. It was worst.
So the Cadillac I had was like a forest green. That's what, and it had tan seats, which I hate tan seats, but it was like a forest green.
Tan
and then
seats.
My next car was a black Chevy
tan
Impala.
Seats. That just sounds like
sandstone.
Oh. Yeah. This is great. 8755 says, had a Dodge cargo van with two captain's chairs up front, empty in the back. Nice. Had it for 2 months. The summer after I turned 16 was my dad's old company van. 2004 on July 4th, some friends and I were shooting Roman candles and black cats in the van, then left for a party. I came back to my parents' house later to find fire trucks in their driveway. The van had caught on fire and burned the frame.
Oh, no.
Kicker is, July 4th is my mom's birthday. Legendary. Did you get spanked for that, 8755?
So how did it catch fire?
I don't know. That's a great question. Yeah, you guys left and came back. Somebody probably said, watch this. And a Roman candle went off and then boom.
Gene in Spring Hill says, an awesome 67 Pontiac Catalina green electric windows I thought were so cool.
Ooh.
Electric windows with a 67?
Did your Cadillac have electric window? It probably did, didn't it?
Oh, yeah. It had the – you just hit it and it went down.
Oh,
you
nice.
Didn't have to hold it.
Yeah, they're all – well, let me ask you this, and then if you can't – people on the stream that are watching, How do you tell people to roll the window down now? Do you do this or do you do this? Remember growing up, it was always this.
Yeah, you do that. I don't know. I still kind of do that. Because, see, like, I grew up with, like, my parents' cars had rolled, some of them had rolled down windows.
Right, yeah. And they always worked, man.
Yeah.
If the electric don't work, man, you go through a drive-thru, you got to pull up 2 feet ahead.
Those are gone now, right? Like, those are completely gone.
I don't know. Yeah. Yeah. There's not a car made in the last 25 years that's got to
See, I laugh, too, like, when I look at, like, new cars and it says, like, all the stuff it comes with and it still lists, like, power windows, AC, like all those things. And I'm like, isn't that just normal now? Like, do you even have to include that anymore?
All right. 8547 had a 2001 Dodge Stratus. Total crap. Had to take off the front left wheel to change the battery.
Yes. Okay. Now, here's the thing on my – I don't think it was like this in mine. No, it was. In the Cadillac, the battery was in the trunk.
Really?
Yeah. And like in my grandfather's, the one that he got after that, it was a 03, it's under the back seat. So there were like terminals.
What in the
there
world?
Were terminals under the hood that you could plug onto, but sometimes like that wouldn't be enough because it still had to get to the battery. So there was one time that to jump it off, I had to pull the back seat off and plug it directly into the battery to jump the car off.
Pray to God the battery doesn't explode.
Right. But it was under the back seat.
Mine's under my passenger seat, unfortunately.
Is it?
Yeah.
Now?
Yeah, right now, yeah. It's the original. My car broke down probably a year and a half ago or so, helping out my buddy Tyler, you know, the golf guy, trying to move into his new apartment. And sure enough, I had everything in there, his TV, his laundry, everything. I couldn't open my back hatch because my car died. And so as I'm trying to figure out where the battery is, keep hearing the ticking. Under the hood, not there. So I look, I'm like, what is under my passenger seat? My battery.
Huh.
And it stood out there, just sat there in the parking lot for 3 days. Couldn't drive it home. It was out in Gallatin.
Whose car is this you just sent us?
It's just one I found online. It looks like my dad's Cutlass. It's all black, has a red stripe down the side of it, white wall tires.
Sometimes. So the old two-door Cutlass, like that was a pretty awesome car.
My brother drove that through high school all 4 years.
My mom, nice. When I was little... Like, the first car I remember my mom ever having was a Cutlass. It was an ugly gold tan something. We had an obsession with those in the 80s. I don't know why. But it was, like, the ugliest color you could see. But it was, like, I remember it being a cool car. And then...
Cassette tape inside the little arm bar. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. My dad had a, like, an 89 or 90 Toyota Cressida. And, like, I thought it was cool because it had these two levers that you would pull that were, like, for the emergency lights.
Yeah.
And it would, like, blink like the Starship Enterprise and make a... rant, rant, rant. So I was, like, red alert. And I kept doing that.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, these were all just amazing things. Again, we got to get out of here. But 410-3237, Weston Clarksville, Thomas and Nashville, Donovan Franklin, Josh, everybody... Thank you. We'll respond back to all these throughout the day. Thank you for that, for walking down memory lane with us.
Hang on. I'm going to read Bob's real quick.
Okay.
1968 Camaro convertible bench seat. Wrecked it and totaled in 8 weeks, but had more dates for than the next 18 months.
Oh, could you imagine having a 68 Camaro right now?
Oh, gosh. I would love that.
And this all started because this morning I saw my ultimate car, which I never got to have, was an El Camino. I mean, they're so ugly.
You wanted an El Camino?
El Camino is like the boxer of a dog. It's so ugly. The beauty of an El Camino is how ugly it is. For a boxer dog, they're so ugly. They're absolutely beautiful. And that's what it was. An El Camino, to me, was like, that's what I want.
You just reminded me of a radio legend in town, Carl P. Mayfield. Did a song like 30 years ago, like a bit, was I think it was Bubba Skinner that did it.
Mm-hmm. Hey, man.
My El Camino. The song was called My El Camino.
That's right.
And it was, I think it was to the Macarena.
Good memory.
Yep. I remember that stuff for sure.
Nice.
We'll come back, tell you what day it is and celebrity birthdays. Chase and Big Joe, presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game on this Monday. You know, one thing we'll get into a little later in the week, but Vanderbilt's baseball season coming to an end. in the regional. Unable to find a win in the Clemson regional, and therefore they're done. Obviously, a lot to think about, you know, moving forward. But a tough year, but hopefully something to build on and kind of see what it looks like, you know, after this year. But
thank you, Tony Robbins.
What? Why?
The optimism.
I try. I don't think
there's a lot of optimism after ending the season. You know,
but that's the but. But and I try and make this a positive. That's the standard that they've set, that Tim Corbin has set.
Oh, like I agree.
The standard is that, you know, you're going to Omaha every year.
And, you're right.
And so when you don't, it's a disappointment. But how do you, you know, what do you do to kind of fix that? And it doesn't help Vanderbilt fans either to see what Tony Vitello and Tennessee's doing. I mean,
oh, it's got to drive. They won't admit it.
They're going to Omaha. Like, I'm going to be shocked if they're not in Omaha.
And congrats, you know, my favorite player, the Donaldson lefty, man. Andrew Binkie came in Saturday for the Vols and shut him down. So I'm all aboard the Vol train right now as they're winning and going forward. So that's cool.
With that, let's get to what day is it and celebrity birthdays.
All right, gentlemen, today we have – it is a picture of a mountain, but it says Chimborazo Day. So I'm not sure if that's the name of a mountain. Or
I don't know what the hell
a volcano
is.
Maybe. We have Impersonate Authority Day. That is on here. I do
that every day.
That might be somewhat of a felony. Some authoritative figures. I don't know. Love Conquers All Day. There you go.
Yeah, that's true.
National Thank God It's Monday Day.
Who says that?
You doing that?
Odd people do, I guess. National Itch Day. I got an itch to eat some pastrami. I'll tell you that.
That sounds good.
National Egg Day.
Can you get me some?
You can just go to Bringles. I'm fine.
Let's go.
Smoke pastrami. Fine. We also have National Chocolate Macaroons Day. I've never had a macaroon. Never had one. It's not macaroni, but macaroons. Colored sandwiches. We also have World Cider Day and
love cider.
World Clubfoot Day and National Leave the Office Early Day. So.
A lot of those days.
That's every day for Joe.
That's it. A matter of 10:59. All right, time for celebrity birthdays. Got to give them in 2 years. First birthday up, Anderson Cooper. How old is Anderson Cooper?
62.
71.
57. Let's see who else here. Boy, a lot of people know. Oh, bass player Too Slim of Riders in the Sky lives here in Nashville. Too Slim.
60.
54.
76. Singer Susie Quattro. She was Pinky Tuscadero on Happy Days. She was Fonzie's girlfriend on Happy Days. Susie Quattro.
74.
75.
74, exactly. Chaser knows his 70s TV stars. Singer Jamie O'Neill.
41.
48.
56. Lives down there in Franklin, I believe, somewhere. Let's see who else here today. I saw one. Singer Denise Williams. She sang Let's Hear It for the Boys on the Footloose soundtrack. Denise Williams.
60.
I'm going 55.
74. You guys are terrible. All right, two more.
I just saw some news.
It's okay. Is it important news?
Yeah, it's pretty big.
What is it?
Cowboys legend Larry Allen has passed away.
Oh, wow. Yeah, wow, he was not
Cowboys
old.
Just putting that out there that
50?
Doesn't say his age. Yeah,
can I get
say.
It within two?
I shouldn't say that. Man, come on.
Shut up. No, you shut up. Oh, everybody, you
shut up. Yeah, so the Cowboys just putting that out there that Super Bowl champion and Ring of Honor member Larry Allen passing away in the Hall of Famer, Pro Football Hall of Famer. Okay. Suddenly, while on vacation in Mexico with his family on Sunday.
Might have been the best offensive lineman interior of all time.
Yeah.
Do you want to do two more birthdays?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, Chase up 2-0. Rafael Nadal. Today's Rafi's birthday.
37.
42.
38. 3-0. And finally, Al Horford, who's been in the league forever, played at Florida. His daddy's Tito.
I mean, 39.
38.
40. Chase wins 4-0.
Boom.
Well done.
There you go. Good job.
Great show, guys.
Hey, fantastic show.
As we leave
tomorrow.
You. As we leave
We might
you.
Bring you back.
maybe, with every show. To our guys out there, look, you made it to the weekend. Another week is here. I'm proud of you. You're still here. If you need to talk, 988 on your cell phone. Please, please reach out. Talk to somebody. Talk to us. We're here for you anytime to let you know how much we love you, and you're doing a heck of a job. Please keep going. As I say, God has you on this earth for a purpose. Please know that if something happened, you would be tremendously missed, and know that we love you.
Amen to that. Peace, love, rock and roll. Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace next. 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Moto Casino.